Hello and welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. It is Tuesday, the 19th of November, as we record this particular edition. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of its absurdity. Hoping that you and yours are doing well and surviving the lunacy that is life in America today. And boy, do we have some lunacy to talk about today. In fact, the gavel just went down in Washington, D.C. At least I think it did. On today's edition of the Democrat sham hearings for their sham investigation. Actually, I'm looking here and you hear that noise in the background. Oh, of course it would buffer and hold up on me now. Yeah. And the gavel has not dropped yet. They're still milling about looking for their seats and we'll see what happens. Ah, well. Hey, the clown show that is the Democrat effort to impeach the President of the United States is still going on. And you can watch it. It's live online at a bunch of different sources right now. What happens to be up on my computer right now, the one that I just pulled the audio from, is the Fox News feed, because they're running it live and I happen to have them up on Facebook at the moment. Good morning to those of you on Facebook Live. Good to have you along today. And to the rest of you who are listening via podcast, thanks a lot for downloading and participating and for sharing with your friends. It means a lot. Thanks ever so much. So today is going to be a crazy day, and there's nothing really to talk about as far as the Democrat clown show in D.C. is concerned. There are a couple of tangential stories that go along with it. Maybe we'll touch on those a little bit later in the morning. But the big news today, the big news doesn't have anything to do with Washington, D.C. Not really. And we'll touch on that very shortly. You know, yesterday I meant to mention to you, I meant to refer back to Friday and tell you how the weekend went. And I really never did that. I just kind of fluffed around a bit and never got around to it. And I told you Friday that as soon as I finished up in the studio, my wife and I were going to hop in the car and head to Atlanta. And we did that. We did that. And we had what I thought was a good trip. It was not really a completely productive trip, but it was a good trip. I'm looking for I'm looking for a piece of furniture to use in a studio. And, this is boring. I know. It's just, but bear with me for a minute here. So I decided, well, let's keep it cheap. Let's go to IKEA and have a look, because you can look at IKEA online. You can go to their website and you can search desk or table or something like that. And they'll show you the selection of what they offer. But seeing it up front in person is up close is important, because you need to be able to really put your hands on a piece of furniture and tell what it's going to, you know, how it's going to perform for you, if it's going to be durable, if it's going to suit the task at hand. And so I thought, you know what, we haven't been out of town for a while. We've both been talking about having cabin fever. Let's take a road trip. So we hopped in the car. Hop, that's generous. We limped to the car and took a road trip to Atlanta. And when we left here, it's kind of cloudy. Some sunshine was peeking through, but we drove into the rain and stayed in the rain all day long. It rained on us all the way there. It rained the whole time we were there. It rained on us almost all the way back. And when we got back into the Birmingham area, we were out of the rain again. And we came back empty-handed. And here's why. This is just a note to those of you who have never been into an IKEA store. Before this weekend, before Friday, I'd never been into an IKEA store. We don't have them here. The closest is in Atlanta. The next is in Memphis. And until now, I really had no cause. I could find what I needed. I'm just kind of doing this search, you know. And I thought, why not go to IKEA? It'll be a day out. We can go someplace, maybe go to the Varsi and grab a hot dog or something. And so we drove to Atlanta. We pulled into IKEA. And I'm trying to think of the best way to describe IKEA. IKEA, the IKEA store experience, is like taking a Sam's Club and making it all about nothing but furniture and furniture-related items, home-related items, nothing but that. Furniture, diningware, you know, plates, dishes, plates, bowls, cups, spoons, knives, forks, that sort of thing. That's what it's all about. That is IKEA. It's a home store. It's really what it is. And they have lamps, they have desks, they have tables, they have all kinds of furniture. And if you order it or you buy it there, it comes in boxes and you assemble it when you get it home or it's delivered to your house. Oh, that's one of the reasons why I decided to go to IKEA, was because when I was looking at what I thought I wanted to get, I put it in the shopping cart and then went over to the page where you start the process of getting it, of paying for it and getting it shipped. And then I saw the shipping price. For something that I could probably in the box pick up by myself and load into the car, they wanted close to $80 to ship it to my house. And I thought, you know, that's three quarters of what this thing cost me. Is no, I'm not going to do that. So we decided to go there to get a hands-on look at it, and if it was right, buy it, put it in the car, and bring it home and save that money. And what the trip cost us, by the way, was lunch and three quarters of a tank of gas. That's what it cost us. So not too bad, actually. And no, we didn't go to the Varsity for lunch. We ended up eating in the cafeteria at IKEA. We had the Swedish meatballs. But it's like a big, did I say it was big? It's a big store. And it's divided up into little areas, like bedrooms, living rooms, kitchens, things like that. It's divided up into areas so you can actually see the furniture in place, how it would actually be in a room, possibly in your home. And it goes on and it goes on, and it twists and turns and backs and forths and snakes its way around and goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And oh, there's an exit. No, it's not. It's an escalator going down to another floor that goes on and 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 on. And it just keeps on going. And finally, and honestly, I didn't buy anything primarily because I was confused. I was so confused because the way it works is you see the furniture, and for the vast majority of the store, unless it's something small that you can actually drop in a shopping bag, because they offer you shopping bags on your way in and shopping carts and the like, if it's something that'll fit in a bag or a cart, odds are you can grab it and pick it up. The rest of it, it's all displays. And at each display is a little tag that gives you a row and a shelf number. Yeah, you're catching on. At the end of the maze, when you finally get to the end of the tour, so to speak, there's the warehouse area. You take your information about what you've chosen and go to that aisle and look on that shelf and pull it yourself and take it to the checkout, pay for it, and leave. It's a bizarre situation. And to those of you used to going to Home Depot or to Lowe's or to Sam's Club or to Walmart or someplace like that to shop, it's very different. It's as though you walked into Sam's, you picked out the pair of shoes you liked, but then you have to go through a big room at the end and pull the shoes off the shelf yourself in your size and then take them to the register from a different place, not just from where they have them on display. It's a very strange setup. But once you figure it out, it kind of makes sense. And I figured it out on the way home. So, and when I got home and I decided I'd pull up what I thought would be my best option online to see what's it going to cost to get this, it was around $100. Seriously, it was around $100 in shipping. What I was looking for cost about $130, but it was going to cost $100 to ship it. I said, no, that's not going to happen. And so I'm not buying anything from IKEA. I found the parts that I need. Well, I am buying something from IKEA. I'm buying the legs for the desk. I'm buying them from IKEA because I can get them for like $38 for everything. And then I found a top on a desk top on Amazon and got it for like $80. And so I'm underneath my budget and I'm well under my budget, and I found something that's going to be functional, and hopefully everything will be here this week, and I can get it assembled and stuck into the studio where I need it. I hope. I've gotten the shipment thing. Tomorrow is when the desktop gets here. I have no idea when the IKEA, the desk legs, will get here. All I know is that they've charged my credit card, and they have my order. That's all I know, and that's where that is. So I'm sorry to bore you with my life, but that is what happened. And the rest of the weekend, the other 2 days, my wife was off work this weekend, and every time she's off work, it's a three-day weekend, so to speak. When I get through handling the podcast, I can just unplug. If I don't have other things I'm committed to, I can unplug, and we can just have a three-day weekend. And so the rest of the weekend was just uneventful. Nothing to report, really. Not really much to report. Oh, my. And here we are at Tuesday, looking at a list of stories to talk about today, which just, you know, the clown show is underway. I've got the thing up in my browser here. Adam Schiff is speaking. He is pontificating. He whose chair sits higher than everybody else's in the room. He is the one who has the most degrees in how to lie, you know, so, well, whatever. But it's all going on now, but there's really not much to talk about as far as we're concerned here today. We can talk about other things, like Representative Lee Zeldin is saying that these hearings should have been postponed because behind closed doors in secret meetings, they learned some new stuff that you need to know before we move forward. But Adam Schiff and the Democrats aren't letting that happen. We can look at that a little bit later on. The Democrats have given up on Russia and collusion, bribery and intimidation. Those aren't playing well. So now they're talking about perjury and going back to the whole Russia thing with the Mueller investigation. That we can talk about a bit later on, hopefully. Tulsi Gabbard did something really interesting. I really hope we can get to that story. But the story to talk about today, this morning, to lead off with, is Chick-fil-A. And by now, you're well aware what happened yesterday. Chick-fil-A, one of the last remaining large companies to stand in defiance of the PC police and the LGBT rage mob, has suddenly and inexplicably caved. This is an article coming from the Daily Wire by Matt Walsh. Chick-fil-A President and Chief Operating Officer Tim Tosopoulos announced in an interview that the company will no longer donate to certain Christian charities at the aforementioned rage that the aforementioned rage mob has deemed anti-LGBT. Tosopoulos says that as the company goes into new markets, he wants to be clear about who we are, and who they are appears to conform to the old maxim about becoming what you eat, or in this case, what you serve. From BizNow says this, beginning next year, Chick-fil-A will move away from its current philanthropic structure. BizNow has learned after donating more than 300 charitable organizations this year, the Atlanta-based fast food chain will instead focus on three initiatives with one accompanying charity each: education, homelessness, and hunger. And which charities will lose out now that Chick-fil-A has shifted focus to education, homelessness, and hunger? The company confirms it will be breaking ties with Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the Paul Anderson Youth Home. In other words, it will stop donating to charities that help with education, homelessness, and hunger in order to focus more on education, homelessness, and hunger. Of course, the real sin of these unfortunate organizations is not that they fail to help exactly the people Chick-fil-A says it wants to help, but that they're all Christian. And as LGBT protesters have been screaming ever since Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy defended biblical marriage in an interview 7 years ago. 7 long years ago, almost 3/4 of a decade ago. In an interview with a publication that 99.9% of Americans don't know exists, the fact that they are Christian automatically makes them anti-LGBT. Just last week, pop singer Ellie Goulding threatened to pull out of her halftime performance during the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving game because of the NFL's association with the Salvation Army. She relented on her threat, though every football fan would prefer if she'd stuck to her guns. Only for Chick-fil-A to jump on the dog pile a few days later. There's much more to this story, and I want to keep it going after the break. Because Chick-fil-A has responded, and we need to see and hear what Chick-fil-A has said about this situation. I don't know that it changes anything, but we'll look at what they have to say as well. That's coming up after the break, here on the Daily Perspective Podcast. You are listening to The Daily Perspective, a daily, Monday through Friday, hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hosted by little old me, Mark Congleton. Looking at stories which really do affect all of us in some way, shape, or form. And this particular story that we're talking about right now, Chick-fil-A changing its method of donating to charity, has really struck a chord with a lot of Americans. And we're looking at a story by Matt Walsh on the Daily Wire and his response to what happened. Chick-fil-A has responded. We'll get to that very shortly. Continuing on with what Matt Walsh has to say. The change of heart is somewhat confounding. Yes, they've been boycotted on and off for the past 7 years. Yes, LGBT activists were prone to lashing out at the restaurant's hate chicken. But none of this appeared to be negatively affecting the company's bottom line. Indeed, the opposite was the case. The initial boycott in 2012 gave rise to Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. You remember that? Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, where fans of the restaurant waited in lines wrapping around the block to show their support in the form of eating their delicious chicken. The enthusiasm never died. Chick-fil-A rose in popularity during the intervening years, tripling its sales, becoming one of the top three restaurant chains in America. This capitulation will not stop the bleeding, because there was no bleeding. Now that might change. This move is much more likely to alienate Chick-fil-A's supporters than to appease its critics. Surrendering to political correctness almost never pays off. And Chick-fil-A isn't likely to be an exception. Personally, I don't care what charities a chicken restaurant does or does not support. That is their affair and their decision to make. I'm not going to boycott. Their chicken sandwiches are still delicious, which is my primary concern when I'm in the drive-thru. But it is disappointing and somewhat bewildering to see them cave like this. Their refusal until now was important for reasons that have nothing to do with gay marriage or homosexuality. It was good to have at least one major company with the stones to defy the rage mob. Regardless of the reason for the defiance or the issue at the center of the controversy, the defiance itself was the point. Their surrender, on the other hand, has no point. This is what Chick-fil-A will now learn the hard way, as have so many before them. You cannot appease the mob. It doesn't matter if you give them what they want. It doesn't matter if you fall to your knees, confess your sins, and beg forgiveness. All your self-abdication will do is empower and encourage your critics. They will not forgive you. Not that Chick-fil-A needs forgiveness. This is an age of scalp claiming, not mercy. Now they will happily take yours, celebrate the victory, and move on to the next target. You aren't their friend now or their ally. You're just a trophy on their shelf. Congratulations, Chick-fil-A. And that's what Matt Walsh had to say about the issue. Now the Salvation Army responded, and this is coming from The Blaze. The Salvation Army isn't going to allow their good name to be tarnished in the wake of Chick-fil-A's announcement that it would no longer be supporting anti-LGBTQ charities such as Christian Organization, the Salvation Army, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. On Monday, the fast food company made the announcement revealing that it would no longer make donations to charities with traditional views on human sexuality. The move came after the company endured years of bad press and protests from the LGBT community. In a statement to CNN, The Salvation Army warned against knee-jerk assumptions about the longtime charity. Quote, "We're saddened to learn that a corporate partner has felt it necessary to divert funding to other hunger, education, and homelessness organizations, areas in which the Salvation Army, as the largest social services provider in the world, is already fully committed. When misinformation is perpetuated without fact, our ability to serve those in need, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, religion, or any other factor, is at risk. We urge the public to seek the truth before rushing to ill-informed judgment and greatly appreciate those partners and donors who ensure that anyone who needs our help feels safe and comfortable to come through our doors." This is the second time in as many weeks that the Christian organization has had to defend itself and its good deeds. Last week, UK performer Ellie Goulding threatened to pull out of the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving Day halftime performance in Arlington, Texas, unless the Salvation Army, which has been promoted by the Cowboys annual game since 1997, made a donation or a pledge to the LGBTQ community. The Cowboys will face off against the Buffalo Bills, and the game will feature the Red Kettle Kickoff Halftime Show, which raises money for the Salvation Army. Commissioner David Hudson, National Commander of the Salvation Army, said in a statement, "We'd like to thank Ellie Goulding and her fans for shedding light on misconceptions and encouraging others to learn the truth about the Salvation Army's mission to serve all without discrimination. We applaud her for taking the time to learn about the services we provide to the LGBTQ community, regardless of race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or gender identity. We're committed to serving anyone in need. Every day, we provide services such as shelter for the transgender community and resources for homeless youth, 40% of whom identify as gay or transgender." Ellie's performance in the 23rd Annual Salvation Army Red Kettle Kickoff during the Dallas Cowboys game on Thanksgiving Day on CBS will kick off a season of giving that helps support these and many other programs and services throughout the country. Something that's important to remember here is that the LGBTQ social justice movement demonizes every organization which ties itself to Christianity because of what Christianity, what the gospel teaches. And they paint Christianity and Christians in an overwhelmingly negative light. Because the truth doesn't bow to falsehood. It doesn't compromise. It is the truth. As Ben Shapiro likes to say, facts don't care about your feelings. The truth of the matter is, you were born male, you were born female. There are two genders. It takes two genders for the human race to continue. Everything else is just imagination and personal preference. That's the bottom line. And when you stand by that bottom line, recognizing it as the truth, and an incontrovertible truth, something that cannot be changed no matter how much you believe otherwise, then those who prefer to believe otherwise, rather than accepting you and your views as just an alternative to what they see, they condemn, pigeonhole, and paint you with a broad brush as someone who is motivated by hate. And that's not hate. It's just the truth. It's not hate to say that the earth is round and not flat. It's the truth. And this would be like flat earthers saying you hate everybody who doesn't believe that the earth is flat, that the earth is round, and which is not true. Rational, reasonable people don't think that way. But for 7 years, the better part of a decade, the LGBTQ community has waged a campaign of hate against Chick-fil-A. And that's a sad thing. And that campaign of hatred, that misinformation campaign, that misdirection campaign going on for 7 years, more than 7 years now, has prompted a loyalty to Chick-fil-A that has grown it into the number three restaurant chain in America. As people, rational, reasonable, clear-thinking, clear-minded, honest people have looked at the situation and said, well, that's just crazy. Let's go get some Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day kicked it all off. And you and I, rational, reasonable, correct, honest people, have been eating at Chick-fil-A in spite of the lies being told about them, because we know the truth is there's never been any discrimination against anyone by the corporation Chick-fil-A. The founder, being a Christian man, personally believed and expressed in an interview in a publication that was sent out to Baptists that he sees marriage as between a man and a woman, as described in the Bible. That's the way he sees it. And rather than shrugging their shoulders and saying, yeah, well, that's how you see it, the LGBTQ hate rage mob decided to firebomb Chick-fil-A, to boycott them, to raise all kinds of stink about them. And all of it based on, I think, intentional misunderstanding. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. There's a story breaking here. Two Federal Bureau of Prisons employees who were on duty the night Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in a Manhattan jail have been taken into custody early this morning on federal charges related to their alleged failure to check on him. Rather than checking on Epstein every half hour as they were supposed to, the workers say they fell asleep for hours. They then falsified records to cover up what they had done, according to officials. The charges would be the first to arise from a criminal jury into the death of Epstein, who allegedly hanged himself at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. Side note, they have refused to plea bargain, which is interesting. We'll have to see how that plays out. This is a whole lot more than just a Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself meme. This is a very serious story. Although those memes are amusing, something odd happened in the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan that night. Cameras failed to work. The guards fell asleep. They transferred the cohabitant of the inhabitant of the cell out. And suddenly Epstein is no longer with us. Yes, it does smell fishy for very, very good reason. Back to Chick-fil-A. In the Christian Post, there's an article by Brandon Showalter. He's a reporter for the CP. Which is titled, Chick-fil-A Denies Capitulating to LGBT Activists. Christian groups won't be excluded from donations. And let's dive into what this article says. Amid reports that fast food chain Chick-fil-A was halting donations to Christian groups, the restaurant's foundation is maintaining they are philanthropically restructuring, not caving to political correctness in pursuit of higher profits. Reports emerged Monday after months of consistently negative press coverage related to their long-held views about marriage and human sexuality and donations to like-minded organizations that the famous chicken sandwich shop was discontinuing their financial contributions to groups characterized as anti-LGBT. Before I move on, I want to go back to that particular paragraph and take a look at something. Negative press coverage related to their long-held views about marriage and human sexuality. The company itself, as far as I'm aware, didn't have long-held views about marriage and human sexuality. In fact, the company, Chick-fil-A employs a lot of LGBTQ people. The company doesn't discriminate who it sells anything to. The company doesn't have these views. The founder of the company, he, as an individual, as a person, held and holds those views. The company itself is not a person. It is not a human. It doesn't hold views. The company itself is a business. Well, the Christian Post reached out to Chick-fil-A yesterday asking them to respond to the criticisms that they were compromising their principles in order to appease their ideological opponents. A Chick-fil-A representative said in a statement emailed to the Christian Post yesterday, quote, "Beginning in 2020, the Chick-fil-A Foundation will introduce a more focused giving approach, donating to a smaller number of organizations working exclusively in the areas of hunger, homelessness, and education. We have also proactively disclosed our 2018 tax filing and a preview of 2019 gifts to date on Chick-fil-A or ChickfilAFoundation.org. The intent of charitable giving from the Chick-fil-A Foundation is to nourish the potential of every child. Our goal is to donate to the most effective organizations in the areas of education, homelessness, and hunger. No organization will be excluded from future consideration, faith-based or non-faith-based. I also want to add that Chick-fil-A will not be opening on Sundays." Because that, by the way, is something that's been rumored. Oh, yeah, they're going to start opening Sundays now, too. Did you hear that? It's not true. According to an exclusive from BizNow Monday, Chick-fil-A was shifting away from its current philanthropic structure to refocus their giving on other causes, specifically education, homelessness, and hunger, and would no longer be donating to groups like the Salvation Army, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the Paul Anderson Youth Home. Chick-fil-A President and Chief Operating Officer Tim Tosopoulos told the outlet, "There's no question. We know that as we now we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. There are lots of articles and newscasts about Chick-fil-A, and we thought we needed to be clear about our message. When there is a tension, we want to make sure we're being clear. We think this is going to be helpful. It's just the right thing to do, to be clear, caring, and supportive, and do it in the community." Well, the move elicited criticism from conservative politicians and Christian commentators who blasted it as craven capitulation to LGBT activists and their allies. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee said yesterday, "In August of 2012, I coordinated the National Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day after they were being bullied by militant hate groups. Millions showed up. Today, Chick-fil-A betrayed loyal customers for dollars. I regret believing they would stay true to convictions of founder Truett Cathy. Sad." Representative Chip Roy, Republican from Texas, wondered whether the restaurant would soon open its doors for business on Sunday, commenting Monday that his attitude toward Chick-fil-A is now, meh, just like every other corporation that ultimately capitulates. Writing his in his blog at the American Conservative on Monday, Rod Dreher called the fast food chain's decision nothing but gutless surrender. He said, "Chick-fil-A has managed to become the third biggest fast food chain in the U.S. despite earning so much progressive hatred for honoring what its leadership once claimed was fidelity to a much higher calling. But now in 2019, as it sits near the summit of business success, Chick-fil-A suddenly finds that it can no longer afford to follow that higher calling. And it's a lesson to all of us. The LGBT lobby and their progressive allies will never, ever leave you alone. Never." The 2018 tax form filed Friday with the IRS notes that the foundation gave the Salvation Army $115,000 last year and $1.65 million to Fellowship of Christian Athletes last year. The donations were part of the multi-year obligations that have now concluded. Chick-fil-A intends to donate approximately $9 million to charity, including $25,000 to a local food bank for each new restaurant they open. A statement posted on chickenwire.com explains, "This giving strategy further honors principles set by our founder, Truett Cathy, who believed that all people are worthy of care. Going forward, Chick-fil-A, Inc. will continue to fund scholarships to team members each year and support local organizations through our True Inspiration Awards. We will also continue to invest in our hometown through community revitalization efforts in the historic west side of Atlanta. Through these initiatives, Chick-fil-A Inc. and the foundation will provide approximately $32 million in total cash gifts in 2020. And yet, they're going to stop giving to two organizations, one in particular, which is recognized as one of the world's top in helping homelessness, education, and the like. It's an interesting decision. And people are, rightfully, befuddled by it and unhappy. And a lesson that Chick-fil-A is going to learn, something that I posted on my personal page yesterday on Facebook, is that they will never appease the hate mob. They never will. The hate mob, the social justice hate mob, will not be appeased. The psychotic hate ragers who misrepresent Chick-fil-A will keep misrepresenting Chick-fil-A because they never forgive. For 7 years, they have held on to a psychotic hatred for someone just because he disagrees with their views. They never forgive. Chick-fil-A's business has grown dramatically in recent years because of their steadfast resistance to pop culture insanity. People have gravitated toward them because they sell truly tasty food and peacefully stand by their convictions. Now, Chick-fil-A joins Gillette, the Boy Scouts, Dick's Sporting Goods, and the NFL in surrendering to the justice mob. They'll receive the same respect as those going before them. None. It doesn't matter what Chick-fil-A does today, because those spreading hatred against them for the past 7 years will continue hating them for being founded by a Christian man with a biblical worldview who shared his personal belief that biblical marriage is a commitment between a man and a woman. This belief, this refusal to conform to pop culture ideals, is why these people hate Chick-fil-A. Not where they choose to make charitable donations. Ending these donations won't end their intolerant hatred, but it will disappoint those who have supported Chick-fil-A through the boycotts and other attacks. And rightfully so. Since the announcement, GLAAD, the gay and lesbian support group, has responded. And here's what they said. Quote, in addition to refraining from financially supporting anti-LGBTQ organizations, Chick-fil-A still lacks policies to ensure safe workplaces for LGBTQ employees and should unequivocally speak out against the anti-LGBTQ reputation that their brand represents. In other words, it's not enough. And it never will be enough until they completely and totally bow and kiss the ring of the LGBTQ hate mob. It never will be enough because they never forgive. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Tuesday edition of the podcast, the November 19th, 2019 edition. We've been talking about Chick-fil-A. It's interesting that they have decided to restructure, and the way they've decided to restructure, when you consider all that has gone against them in the last 7 years, and their phenomenal growth in spite of everything that's gone against them. You know, they've been pushed off of college campuses, out of airports. The rage mob has shown up and lied about Chick-fil-A time and time and time and time again. And they just keep growing. And the reason that they've kept growing is because rational, reasonable, honest, normal people haven't held a grudge for 7 years about something said to a very small audience, a view held by one man. It's held by many more people, but this guy expressed his views when asked by a small publication, and please don't take any offense if you read the Baptist publications, but honestly, when you compare it, the readership to others, it's small. We're just being honest here. And yet, the LGBTQ rage mob latched onto that 7 years ago and hasn't let go. And that's the reason they hate Chick-fil-A. Who they donate to is secondary. At best, it's secondary. They were founded by a Christian family. They have donated to Christian causes. The Salvation Army, as we discussed earlier, doesn't discriminate against anybody. And truthfully, neither does Chick-fil-A. And as I said a while ago, Christian people, in general, painting with a broad brush, don't discriminate. We help. We invite you to come to us for help. We are not the judge. As Christians, our mission is to help you. And by helping you, to show you a better way of life. That's part of the gospel. The Good Samaritan didn't ask about the traveler's background. He just helped. And that example was laid out for us as a way to live. And yet, those who oppose rather than seek to learn will always paint those whom they oppose in a negative light. They will always condemn rather than seek to understand. They will always wage campaigns against people and groups who will not completely embrace the way they see the world around them. And that's a very sad thing. And it's one of the primary reasons that I argue every day that we have to get our information from reliable sources outside of the mainstream news media. Because if we only get our information from inside that bubble, then what we get is a very distorted picture of the world around us. You go out and shut off. If you shut off the television, turn off the radio, unplug things from your ears, put your phone away, and go out where real people are having real life, you'll find out that we don't have that much difference. We have much, 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 much more in common than we don't. As I said to a friend, God, it's like 11 years ago, we're sitting around a table. They've just had a baby. We're having dinner, and we're passing the baby around the table at dinner in a restaurant and cooing to the child and having a conversation. And the dad's a hardline liberal, and I'm not. And I finally looked across the table and I said, buddy, I have a feeling that you and I agree probably on 98% of things. We just disagree on how things should be done. We all want the best for our family. We want to live at peace with the world around us. We want to make as much money as we can so that our children, this baby, will have a good life. We want to be able to provide things for our kids that our parents couldn't provide for us. We want the same things. If we'll stop listening to the people who are stirring up anger and hatred, we'll find that we can achieve the same goals. The problem is, there is so much intolerance for dissent. And the vast majority of that intolerance is coming from the left. Usually people on the right will shrug their shoulders and say, okay, believe what you want. And then walk away from it and do exactly that. They'll believe what they want. But the person on the left will walk away from that angry that the person on the right didn't agree with them. And they'll go to social media and condemn that person and condemn what they believe in and condemn. And that really doesn't sound like a truly liberal way of living, does it? Actually, we seem to be a lot more liberal than those who call themselves liberal, because we tend to believe that we can live and let others live, that we can believe what we want and let others believe what they want. But when you flip that over, it doesn't work the other way. The other side of that coin is not equal in any way, shape, or form. Because if you don't completely agree, if you don't completely surrender, if you don't drop to your knees and kiss the ring of the leftist rage mob and pledge your support and stand alongside them in their war against what they don't like, you're still their enemy. And that word, enemy, is found in what they post online every day. They refer to everyone who doesn't agree with them as their enemy. Do you refer to people you disagree with as your enemy? Of course you don't. You just see things differently. And you hope that they will, just for a moment, let go of their hatred and see things clearly. But you don't call them your enemy. Sadly, what Chick-fil-A is going to learn is that regardless of their reasoning, regardless of their rationale, regardless of who came to this decision for whatever reason, the LGBTQ rage haters are still going to hate them. And they will not stop hating them until Chick-fil-A, unless and until Chick-fil-A becomes an active, proactive force for the LGBTQ movement and changes every business practice to give unfair, unequal advantage to members of the LGBTQ community. That's the only way things will change. And even then, the vast majority of those who follow and adhere to the LGBTQ movement will not trust Chick-fil-A because they've been indoctrinated. Chick-fil-A can't win by making this decision, which is sad, because they were winning before. That's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.